Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a TV program that airs right after this program from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on public access channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. Please give a look. There are many items out there that can help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services to come and study God's Word with us and worship Him. Our only desire is to get you to understand your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son and how we can help you in any way be able to know just how to do that. Before we get into our lesson, today, of course, is Valentine's Day. I want to remember all you husbands out there, don't forget about your wives to show them the love and the kindness that you have towards them because of the good things that they do for you in your life, and to demonstrate the love that we should show to our wives, not just on this special day that's been set aside in our nation, but we should do that every day. We've been looking at the subject of pattern theology, and we're going to look at this throughout the rest of this month. We're going to look at the concept that many believe that there are no patterns in the Bible. And we gave you some examples last week of a couple of men who believe that the Bible is not a pattern, that there is no pattern, and we don't need to follow any other patterns in the Bible. And last week we looked at one, we looked at Noah, and this morning we're going to begin by looking at another in the Old Testament. That is the one of the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 25, after the law has been given to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, we see the beginning of the instructions of the ark, the tabernacle. And I want to just read verse number 8 and 9. And it says, "And let them," in verse chapter 25, of Exodus, "and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishing, just so you shall make it." Now, I also want to read you a New Testament passage that goes along with this before we come back to the book of Exodus. But I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5, "who served the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, and Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount." Now if you go back to the book of Exodus, ladies and gentlemen, beginning in chapter 25, you're going to see in verses 10 through verse number 22, the instruction for the Ark of the Testimony. And then from verse 23 to verse 30, you're going to see instructions for the table and the showbread, what it was to be made of, how many loaves there were to be, and when it was to be changed. Then you're going to find the gold lampstand, beginning in verse 31 of chapter 25 to the end of the chapter in verse 40. And then beginning in chapter 26, you're going to get the instructions of the tabernacle itself, the tent of meeting, and where the curtains were to have, what kind of loops they were to have in the tops of it, and what these loops were to be made out of, what the curtain was to be made of, how many were there to be, and the bars of acacia wood for the boards that would put the ark around as they built the ark. And then the artistic design and the cherubims that were to be inside the wood. And then in chapter 27, we have the instruction of the altar of burnt offering. And then you have the garments for the priesthood in chapter number 28. It gives detailed instructions for those garments, the ephod, the breastplate, and the other priestly garments for those who weren't the high priest, and what those were to be made out of, and how they were to be structured and put together. And then you have in chapter 29 that Aaron and his sons, who were to be the priests, because they were Levites, that was the tribe that God chose to be priests, they were to be consecrated for that service. And then, beginning in chapter 29 and verse 38, you have the instruction of the daily offerings. Chapter 30 gives the instruction of the altar of incense. Chapter 30, beginning in verse 22, gives you a holy anointing oil and what it was to be made out of and what it was for and where it was to be. And then you have the bronze laver in chapter 30, beginning in verse 17 through verse 21, that had the water that was to be washed and to purify. Then you have the incense, what it was to be made out of, in chapter 30, beginning in verse 34. And then you have the artistics for the building of the tabernacle. God gave certain people the ability, the cutters of jewels, and those who are good in woodwork, to be able to have the ability to be able to do the carvings that were needed in the different materials and furniture of the tabernacle. And then he gave the Sabbath law in chapter number 30 concerning the Sabbath and how it would be followed in the worship of God. In all of these, in these chapters, from chapter 25 to 31, you have the instructions of how to build the tabernacle. God told them to make this place that in a symbolic way his name would dwell there. He told them what kind of furniture to put in it. He told them where to place the furniture. He told them what the material was that would even make the curtains that would separate the holy place from the most holy place. He told them where to put the bronze laver. He told them where to put the altar. He told them where to put the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. He told them where to put the showbread, that the bread would rest on the table, the 12 loaves of bread that would be there to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. He told them how to offer the animals and what they were to be offered, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the daily offering that was to be offered on every day. He gave priests the instruction on their garments and how they were to be constructed, how they were to be worn, and what they would do when they were done in their service, and how they were to take them off and to wash himself. And if they became defiled, then they had to go outside the camp. And then they even were given instructions what to do with the parts of the animal that they did not give. They were to take it outside and they were to burn it outside the camp. And then you have instructions about the blood of the sacrifice, what they were to do with it and where they would offer it. And even some of the blood was to be put upon the priest and to consecrate them, and then all on the book of the law, and then on the people, and on all the utensils when the dedication ceremony of the tabernacle would happen in Exodus 35 through 40. Now, when that tabernacle was dedicated, later on in the book of Exodus, when the tabernacle is dedicated, then the glory of the Lord appeared over the tabernacle, and in a symbolic way, it covered the tabernacle so Moses and Aaron could not go in, and it was symbolic that the Lord was taking up residence, that he was going to, in a symbolic way, he was going to dwell with them. But why did the glory of the Lord overshadow the tabernacle? Because they followed the instructions and built the tabernacle according to the mountain, to the pattern that was given to him while he was in Mount Sinai. I want to remind you again of Hebrews 8 verse 5. Who served the copy of the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mark." Notice, they were given detailed instruction. And yet, people tell me today that God doesn't care about detail. Someone who makes that argument has never read the instruction of the building of the tabernacle. It is very detailed, very structured. It was a specific pattern, and it was to be followed in every detail. Now, just to give you an example of that, in the book of Leviticus, there's also a book of patterns of the Old Testament worship for the dress that they had and the sacrifices they were to give. They had a specific order that they were to be given in, and they had a specific way of getting the fire that they were to offer and burn the sacrifices on. Let's read Leviticus chapter 10, the first time that the sons of Aaron offer sacrifices in the tabernacle after they were consecrated. Let's see what they did, beginning in chapter 10, in verse number 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Now notice, they offered strange fire. They offered profane fire. What made it strange? What made it profane? Which he had not commanded them. These priests violated the instructions of how to obtain the fire in order to light the incense and to burn it. And they offered something strange. They offered something that was different. And God sent fire from heaven, and they were slain at the altar. They presumed and assumed that they could change and alter God's pattern just a little. Maybe you're thinking, fire is fire. What difference does it make? Here's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. God gave the instruction where the fire was to come from. From the oil and the lamp that was to burn continually before the altar. That's where they were to get the fire from to light their censers and the incense. They offered profane and strange fire, which God commanded them not, and God sent fire from heaven and slayed them on the altar. Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Does that seem like a trivial thing to you? Fire is fire. What difference does it make where they get it? As long as they light the incense. The difference is God gave a pattern. He gave a pattern of how that fire was to be received, how it was to be gained. And when they violated that pattern and they assumed that they could change it, they paid a very heavy price. There was a grave consequence. They lost their life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to make a note in your mind that we have just looked at two Old Testament examples in the last 2 weeks. We've looked at Noah building the ark. We've seen Moses in his construction of the tabernacle. And we've seen the priest offering sacrifice to God, but offering it in a way that he commanded them not. And there was a swift reply given by God. Now those who profess and those who teach that there is no pattern of instruction, and that patterns are not models, and they do not need to be followed, and those divine instructions can be altered, they can be changed. You remember last week, we read an excerpt from a Methodist bulletin that they change and alter their instruction and their teaching and the direction of their church every 4 years. And then they go in a different direction determined by them. And they just forget about the instruction that God gives in His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, such thinking is wrong. It is wrong because God gives patterns in order to be followed. God gives patterns in order that those instructions would be followed by faith and that they would be done according to His will and not our will. No pattern theology is in the minds of men. It is a false teaching, and those who profess such have never considered the Bible and have never looked at the Bible patterns and fail to understand God's desire that all men are commanded to obey Him by obeying the patterns. Please tune in again next week as we'll continue looking at pattern